The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better. Into the deeper parts of Philippians we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us, and we learn to apply God's timeless truths into our lives. We seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And y'all better say amen, y'all. First up, the Lord teaches us through his word to work out our own salvation. But if salvation is God's gift, how do we work it out? Next, it would help us to believers greatly if we would understand that what God has declared about us positionally is part of the process he works out in us practically. The Jesus inside is being moved to the visible on the outside too. And finally, hopefully, we are supposed to understand that this is our salvation to work out and not someone else's. It's a key element of Christian truth that you and I are not the great authorities of other people's salvation and faith.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? After all, I did do an introduction that told you right off the bat you don't have the authority over somebody else's faith. Oh, wait, that's true. Oh, I see. It's God's salvation. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. Oh, that's becoming more and more clear as we move forward. All right, two ways to get a hold of us. You can call us at 972-445-0770. Now, if you step outside and just say 972-445-0770, nothing will happen. You actually have to use your phone. Okay? If you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. She'll be very nice to you. Just like we said, it'll be right as rain, just like getting chocolate chip cookies. And then she'll bring you over to me, and then you'll have to take medicine after that. That's how that works. The other way to get in touch with us, 214-210-8483 by text. You're welcome to text. That's a nice kind of anonymous way or kind of a secondary way to reach out to us without feeling like you have to kind of throw yourself out there. I understand. I mean, that's pretty normal. And some people like to really like kind of get involved and get into it. Whatever the case may be, you go as the Lord leads. Okay? That's what you should always be doing, because when you're done, you will give an account to the Lord. For you. That's a pretty important point. We do praise reports, prayer requests, and we do pop questions. And if we can answer them, we will. And if not, we push them off to a little further on. I will tell you right now that something came in the news that is not related to politics, ironically. and it has to do with Christians and Christians' understanding of what scriptures are or are not declaring regarding abortion, which next week I'm going to do. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, I did one very dramatic, intense, non-letting up. I didn't take my foot off the gas one time in regards to abortion. I have a very strong opinion. My opinion is that anybody can be forgiven for the sin of abortion. But we will cover that next week. I don't want to do that now, because when I read it, the rest of my hair fell out. And I thought, I'll wait on this, simmer on this, and pray on this, and then bring out the truth and let the truth make the declaration. But let's start off our show offering you the opportunity for praise report, prayer requests, pop questions, and trivia. Here's the first trivia question. What relationship was Lois to Timothy? Okay, we're not talking Superman. Okay, talking the Bible. Okay, talking Timothy. Remember, 1st and 2nd Timothy. What relationship was Lois to Timothy? There you go. Very simply, you can reach out to us. Keep in mind, folks, whatever topic you might want to cover, it doesn't matter. This show is open for conversation, so anything will be good. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay, first and foremost, we got to start off. Are you good for DNA? Okay, we're going to talk about our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. How often? Daily. Daily. A. N, never be ashamed. Never, ever be ashamed of the words of Jesus or of Jesus Christ and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve. So we need to draw closer to the Lord daily. Never be ashamed and always be ready to serve. That's our DNA. That's what a Christian should be made up of. Okay, no matter what the news is, no matter what you hear, no matter what your eschatological point of view or your political point of view, no matter whether you're in a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church or a non-denominational church or a Bible church, I don't care. You and I have this similar element that we exist in. We draw closer to the Lord daily. We're never ashamed of Him and we're always ready to serve. That's the way to do that. Okay. All right. So for those that are still pondering it, that's not the easiest question, but it's a challenging question. What was the relationship? Uh-oh, there goes my mic. I just knocked it over. What was the relationship? What relationship was Lois to Timothy? What relationship was Lois to Timothy? That's the question that's on the board. If you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in to our text number, 214-210-8483. Let's get to our expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
And again, that has nothing to do with our expository teaching. I just like hearing Steve Martin say that. I think it's funny. I think that came from the movie The Jerk. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure. Anyhow, here we're going to get into it. Somebody's calling in now on the trivia question, so that's good. So we'll take that call, see if that's for pizza or for trivia. Okay, well, either way. And if you call in and you guess, it's not like the end of the world. We're not going to get mad at you or anything.
I'm mad at you.
This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I'm a blessed man today.
Right. Awesome. All right, my friend. Here's a good one. This is a kind of a classic because there's actually two ultimate people involved in this text. What's the relationship with Lois and Timothy?
Well, mother and grandmother.
Lois is the grandmother, so that is correct. I don't know if she went by grandmother Lois. I think you have to be kind of careful when you say stuff like that. But Eunice was Timothy's mom, and Lois was the grandmother.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, he learned the scriptures. They taught him well.
Exactly, and their training helped prepare him for a position of walking next to and assisting one of the most powerful, influential apostles, and making a big difference in how the church existed back then and how the scriptures came out to us. So he did a wonderful job. Very, very, very powerful.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Good
very,
job.
Very, very good. Yeah, I love Timothy's letters to Timothy there. Yeah. Thank you for
all right.
being there again.
Amen, brother. Really? All right. You. God bless you. Okay, let's get into this first portion of the text. Ace stepping up right away. Good step up. That was a good one. That's a tough question. I'm not going to say this. You have to think it through. Like, what's that relationship? I'm going to make this easy because the expository stuff comes in the next segment. We're not going to do any extra time on the next segment. I might not even have trivia because it's so much stuff to cover. But here we go in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Start off in the beginning, understanding what's going on. Therefore, my dear friends, also translated my beloved. Paul is very intimate in this letter. We've talked about it before ad nauseum, that this letter is one of the most intimate writings Paul does. He talks about them being beloved, loved, family, friends, all this connection. A lot of, I don't want to say mushy stuff, but a lot of stuff like that where he's reminding them. This letter, the entire 1, 2, 3, and 4 chapters of Philippians, is a letter of encouragement to a church that Paul helped establish through Lydia, the seller of purple, and through the from Thyatira, and then the jailer, who was also saved when Paul and Silas were singing praises. These are the two core people that got saved in the process of establishing this church. This church is very fond in Paul's heart and mind. He loves these people. He says something very fascinating, though. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. I just want to say this, and I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but some people act more Christian in front of other people. And don't tell me that when you meet with your pastor or you got the group of elders or whoever it is, or is there some special speaker and you go up and meet them, that you don't have that moment where you're like, you know, I don't want to say anything dumb. I don't want to do anything dumb. I don't want to trip, which that part's normal, but I don't want to, you know, say the wrong. I want to do it right. And it's like, look, I understand that. There's a part of that that's okay. I mean, it's not a total freak out. Let's not be weird about it. But your Christianity is not just in the presence of people who are really high up there in the kingdom, or workers of the kingdom, or the special royalty of the kingdom. Your walk is before the Lord. And nobody sees what you do in secret except for God. And so that whole walk thing, it's not just for show. It's to go in the Lord. I mean, that's the whole process, is go forward in the Lord. And it's very inappropriate for us to think that we can situationalize our Christian faith. You're either 24/7 or you're not in. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a nutcase on radio 24/7, but it means your faith is real and active 24/7. It's not something you compartmentalize and separate from who you are. You're a Christian. You're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Remember the DNA? Never be ashamed. That's what you're called to. Now, when we get back, we're going into the Greek. Don't get mad at me. Some of you are not going to like what comes out of it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend. On the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man. Finally, I'm sliding in under the tag, home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray, because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So you see, that's a recent cut that I added to their sound clips. And you're in the future sound clips, by the way, too, just to let you know. I'm warning you.
Yay.
So you can say I was on the David Spoon Experience when you're moving up and getting a new, like, engineer position and so on and so forth. But then you could say, please don't fire me because of that. You know, that would be the way to do that. Next, a classic trivia question. To whom did the Holy Spirit say, go near and join thyself to the chariot? In the New Testament, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Who did the Holy Spirit say that to in the book of Acts? There you go. That's your big clue right there. You can reach out to us, 972-445-0770 or 214-210-8483. So I did decide to do a trivia question. You'll have to forgive me. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, excellent. So the answers are starting to pile in, and I appreciate that. And don't forget our website. I think there's something new up there. I think I put something new up there on a pretty regular basis. I'm in the throes of my last major significant paper. Right now it's only 25 or 26 pages with 24 citations, which is close. You're supposed to have a citation per page. Here we go. So we just talked about this. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What? What do you mean, continue to work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Why, Dave, you have to help us here because there are a multitude of passages that talk about our salvation being in the past. And then there's another multitude of passages that talk about our salvation being in the future. And now we have a passage that talks to us about our salvation being worked out right now in the present. And you say, well, how is that possible? And you know I've taught about this and I'll teach about this again because salvation is actually in three tenses. It's very important to understand in Hebrew, Greek, and in English because it translates over the mood, the tense, the situation, the scenario. And for us, salvation has been declared as a final act that is 100% completely accomplished. We have been saved. Anybody can go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and figure out salvation. That's already happened. We're done. But then you look at other passages that talk about salvation, like in 1 Peter, and it talks about the salvation that is to come. And you're like going, wait. It's done, but I mean, it's to come. Oh, you're killing me here. And then you get this passage. This is a real specific passage, which says, work out your salvation, which is like right now. It's like, here it is. And I want you to catch this. This is just one of the most wonderful truths. And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This will give you an entire year's worth of Bible college knowledge in about 7 minutes. Okay? Salvation is a past act. It is what we call justification. It has already happened. It is done. It is sealed. It is past tense. One thing I know about the past, it's back there. Okay, back to past tense. Past tense. So when it says you are saved, you're saved. Okay, got it. Done. That's the past aspect. The middle aspect is what we call, ready, sanctification. This is the process you're going through now. This does not change justification. It actually happens because of justification. Because you're saved, God is now saving you in the current in the context of he's now working out in your life what he has declared about you. He has declared you righteous through Jesus Christ, and now he's making you look more and more like Jesus Christ. In the future, when we hear the trumpet blow, and we're all in heaven, and we're dancing on streets of gold, that will be glorification. That will be the future tense of salvation. That's the one we take into all eternity and we're happy and excited about, because that one deals with the future. Now watch this. Justification deals with the penalty of sin. Okay, now you're listening to me, and I hate it when pastors do this. Say the word penalty. I hate that. Okay. And so that's justification. That's the past. Sanctification deals with the power of sin. Hold on, and then we'll get to the caller. So sanctification deals with the power. So justification, the penalty. Sanctification, the power. And glorification deals with the presence of sin, which will be eradicated in the new heavens and the new earth. All right, we're going to come back to that in just a split second. We got our caller. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Excellent.
Good to hear your voice. I was just praying for you. It's so weird how this happens. So I when I'm praying, you think about different people that have called in and so on and so forth, because it's hard to pray for people that you don't hear from. And I pray for people on different days, and here I prayed for you today, and there you are. It's just like so weird.
Oh, yay.
I love that. I just think that's the greatest
thing. I'm an answer
thing.
To prayer.
There you That's it, my friend. You are an answer to prayer. You need to walk in and go, I'm an answer to prayer. That's a great title. All right, here's a good one. The Holy Spirit told somebody to go up to the chariot and join the chariot. Who did the Holy Spirit say that to?
Philip.
That is correct, sir. One of the great beginning apologetics in the New Testament, Philip. In fact, the scripture is very specific and says Philip started from where he was at, where the eunuch was at, and then talked to him about Christ. Took him right where he was and went from that point into the truth and explained the truth to him. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent.
Thank you much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Wow.
Bless you.
Bless you, too. Rocking and rolling today here. Yeah, Eric got it right as well. Because people text in. Here's the thing. I want to make sure you guys understand this, because on the next segment, we'll have to go into the Greek because it's very in-depth. But here's what I want you to catch. Salvation, if you don't understand it in three tenses, you're going to go, because you just like it doesn't make sense. Justification is in the past and deals with the penalty of sin. That is a work that is done by Jesus Christ. You cannot effect justification in your life. It must be granted. It must be imputed to you. Now, there's a difference between imputed and imparted. I'm actually writing on this in my paper right now. Now, listen to this. For those that are into theology, you'll really appreciate this. To impute and to impart. If I stand next to you and I give you a quarter, I have imparted unto you a quarter. Okay? If I stand next to you and I say, here's a quarter, and you hold out your hand, and then I pull the quarter back and I go, you have a quarter. In my mind, you have a quarter. In my brain, you have a quarter. You have 25 cents. That's called imputing. I've imputed to you that you have something that you don't actually possess, but in my mind, you possess it. Well, that righteousness that God has granted to us comes to us through Jesus Christ and is imputed unto us. Now that we have the imputed righteousness, God is imparting it, P piece by piece by piece as we develop a more Jesus-centered life, glory by glory by glory. And that's the sanctification process. So the justification process, that's done in the past. Sanctification process, that's the right here and now. That's when the Lord takes out the holy 2x4 and hits you in the head and goes, wrong, wrong, that's bad, wrong. And you're like, oops. Because he's making you reflect Jesus Christ more and more. In glory, in the future, we'll be done with all that. We'll be free from all of that. Just enjoying his presence, and we'll be in the fullness that he's made us in, and he'll reveal his fullness to us, and it'll be glory. That's the future. Some people say, well, that's the millennium. No, no, no. That's eternity. It's not 1,000 years. That's forever. And here's what you got to get. The penalty of sin is under justification. The power of sin is being broken in sanctification. And the presence of sin will be eradicated in glorification. So in the past, the penalty, done. In the present, the practicality of it, ouch. In the future, the presence of sin, gone. Yay! That's how the scriptures move for us. And when you look at the fullness of the word salvation or soteria, you understand that it is a completeness. It covers past, current, and future. You have to understand, though, how it applies. And so when you have all these confusing things, next segment, I'm going to show you something. I know there's not a large group, small group of theologians that go, no, the old nature has been crucified and doesn't exist anymore. And it's like, that's 100% incorrect. And the reason we know that, let me finish, the reason we know that is because part of the law, part of the penalty of sin from the law is death, and we are still dying, even though we've been redeemed from the law. How is that possible? Because Jesus, in the fullness, has not pulled every single lever that he's entitled to in his position, which is why death still continues. It's very theological, but it's cool. It's like, oh, that's cool. So the Lord does is, I'm going to work on this and work on this, and then when I blow the trumpet, then death's going to be over. It's going to be it. Then we're done. But in the meantime, what God is doing is creating a group of people that not only love him and he loves them, but that they reflect our Lord Jesus Christ more and more. So when it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that's the sanctification. And let's just be honest. Love and justification. Cannot wait for glorification. Pushing through on sanctification, just pushing through one step at a time. Forward we go, forward we go. All right, when we come back, I'm going to show you a little bit of Greek on that and then show you how it's tied into our salvation with fear and trembling. Hopefully that will be a blessing for you because that is the intent of the scripture. Okay? Okay. It's all right?
It's all right.
All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More, even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. Da, da, da. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
Serve. There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace. Without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, an expository Thursday day, it's more high-minded teaching, and I don't mean that high-minded is a bad thing in any way, shape, or form, but more than encouragement, more than those elements, when you're getting into expository and you're getting into this theological process, especially in Philippians, it's up there. If we were doing Romans or Galatians, your brain would be doing like Twizzlers, like woo, woo, woo. And I'm not the best teacher or communicator when it comes to theology, but I know it. I'm just not the best at it. And so the issue then becomes communicating it in a way that can be effective and helpful for you. Actually, this is what I wrote my thesis on, is justification, sanctification, and glorification, the three tenses of salvation. So if somebody says to you, are you saved? You go, well, yes, while I'm currently being saved. No, not yet. So there's three ways to answer that, just by way of theological joke. You can laugh. It won't hurt you. Your face won't crack. Here we go. This is a pretty straightforward one. Paul the Apostle was born in what city? He was from where? If you know that answer, you can call in. 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. And we will offer up once again our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so there you go. You got the HeMustIncrease.org sitting up there. It's got some different things on it. You're welcome to do stuff with it. Here we go. I want to teach you a little Greek. It's all Greek to me. You ever heard that expression, it's all Greek to me? Never heard that, huh?
I've never.
You're killing me. All right. It's all right. Here we go. We'll do the history in the fourth segment, so we're not going to do it quite yet. Here we go. So it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So you heard me talking about, well, wait, Dave, how can we work out our salvation when we're supposed to already be saved? And then we covered. Salvation is past tense. Justification, saved from the penalty of sin. Present tense, sanctification, saved from the power of sin. And future tense, glorification, saved from the presence of sin. So the issue is, well, how is that possible? And this is the theological issue. How is that possible if, in fact, our old man is crucified? And the difference is people not understanding that there is a substantial difference between positional and practical. God calls you righteous. He has imputed righteousness unto you. From a practical point of view, that's being worked out in you. In the old man has been crucified positionally, but practically, here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. I'm going to read you the Greek. It says, ton peleon anthropon ton phthiriomenon. And what that means, you're all going, what is he talking about? What that means is the old man, which is perfect present tense, being corrupted. The old nature, if you ever notice when you fall away or you step away from the Lord and you're walking a little bit in flesh or you're walking a little bit like the way you're not supposed to, have you ever noticed how easy it is to go back to the old neighborhood and pick up right where you left off? It's almost like it's no different. It's almost like, yeah, I know this territory pretty well. It's like the reason is because even though the old man has been crucified positionally, practically, it's still growing and it's corruption, and it's with you, and if you turn back to it, it's just as ugly as it's ever been. That's just the practical aspects of Christian faith. And so when he's saying to us, hey, work out your salvation, it's like work through it. Don't run from it. When you're having a hard time in your walk, the idea is not to give up. Look, you're saved, but you're going to go through this process of sanctification. There's a lot of people that are like, well, I don't want to go through sanctification. Yeah, I got it. There's a lot of things that I don't want to drive 37 miles to go to a studio from Fate to Irvine. I always say Irvine. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter. It's what I got to do. Got to do it. Got to get in the car. Got to do it. May as well make the best of it. Might as well make the best of what it is that the Lord's brought me to and bringing me through. Do you think that everything that a Christian goes through makes them smile 24/7? Do you think Jesus smiled 24/7? He didn't. Nor did any other prophet. Nor did any other person in all of Scripture. Because sometimes you got to go through it. That's the requirement. But we have to remember this element. God is bringing out of us what he's done in us. You're saved. But he's going to have you reflect that image of Christ glory by glory, step by step, victory by victory. Again, just the practical application of this theology. Have you ever gone through a trial on patience? Ever gone through one of those trials? Have you ever gone through a trial on patience? Have you ever gone through a trial on patience? See how that's starting to irritate you? Have you ever gone through a trial on patience? That tells you everything you got to know. Because that process right there is God working it and working it and working it in us so that we'll be patient, so that we'll be content, so that we'll be resting in him and trusting in him. Nobody is worse at this than I am. But I yet go through trial after 43 years of trial after trial after trial and say, wait, David, wait. Stop trying to seize control. Stop trying to force this to happen. What happens when we don't wait on God? Let's use Abraham as our prime example. It's fantastic. He's a tremendous man of God. Believed, never had a Bible, believed more than you and I ever dreamed about believing, right? But about halfway through, him and Sarah said, hey, this thing from God's not happening. Let's help him out. And then you had Hagar given to Abraham. Then you had Ishmael. And what a mess that turned out to be. All because they couldn't wait. Because their patience, they think they'd missed it because time went by. You think about these things, and not a lot of people recognize that there's a lot of time that takes place. Between the declaration for God to grant Abraham in Acts 15, where Genesis 15. Actually, go to Genesis 12. Between Genesis 12 and the promise that Abraham was going to have descendants and Isaac being born is 20-plus years. It's like, yowza. And then when he sees, and then you just think about that process. Same thing, by the way, with Isaac and having children. I mean, they had to wait a long time. It's like the Lord has his perfect timing for a reason, and part of our sanctification process is trusting him. And I just would challenge anybody to explain to me how Joseph felt like it was just all just fantastic, perfect will of God stuff while he's in prison. as Psalm 106 and 7, or I think it's 107 or 106, say that the chains were on his ankles and around his neck. How was that fun? How was that good? But it was part of the plan. Because God had to get him to somewhere else. And that was in front of Pharaoh, so he could lead the nation, so he could provide for Israel so they were safe. You think, well, maybe it would help if we knew what the plan was ahead of time. Let's be honest between you and I. If you and I knew what the plan of God was ahead of time, we would move into it faster and try and coordinate it to make it happen that way and thereby mess it up. Who doesn't do that? I do that. This is the plan of God. Let me help. It's Dave on the spot. Here I go. It's like, sure, that's... And that's why it talks about our salvation. We're supposed to work on our salvation with fear and trembling. That fear and trembling is this true humility and awestruckness of God going, you tell me when. Your watch is better. Your control is better. Your wisdom is better. It's not that you don't go through the fight. The whole point is that the Lord's trying to get you to the place where that fight in us against him becomes less and less. So that we're not trying to force our will to be done. After all, the prayer is, our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not my will be done. And so you look at this and you see, well, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's like you just recognize God's going to work out of you this justification position he's created in you, this position of honor where the Lord has imputed his righteousness into you, and he's going to pull out of you one hair at a time, one freckle at a time, one eyelash at a time, you to look more and more like Jesus. He's going to pull out of you from the inside so it reflects on the outside. That's what sanctification is. He's setting you apart for him to spend eternity with him. My complaint is, I think, pretty straightforward. There's a part of me that wishes I got saved, and then he went, come on, come home. Like, okay, yay. But that's not the process, is it? And that's part of our surrender. That's where the theology leads us to. That we work out this salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out, work through it, don't run from it. That we go forward in it. Trusting that God is making us what he wants to make us. I don't care what anybody says. This is God's salvation that he has created for your life. He is the author and the finisher. Let him do the work. Just say yes to the Lord. It's the people that did not acknowledge God in Romans 1 that he rejected. It's like, don't do that. That's a bad plan. All right, Paul, by the way, or Saul back then, from Tarsus. Tarsus. Let's see if you can say that without thinking about tartar sauce. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead but asleep." But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kaum? Talitha kaum?" And that means, "Little girl, I say unto you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, "She's dead, she's dead, she's dead." And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Hey, don't forget, you can always go to livinginhisgrip.com. That's Glenn in September, part of our family, and they have a free music for you under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N Project. That's livinginhisgrip.com. So you have that availability anytime you want, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. I'm going to skip the trivia, and I'm going to skip the history. How about that? I'm skipping both of them. I'm just going to quickly say, we're not even going to play it because I got this one section I got to get to. Don't forget hemustincrease.org, please. That's all I'm going to say to you. Just don't forget it. Okay? All right. I want to do this last section because this last section can change your life. I mean it. Now you think, no, I do a whole three sermon series on this one verse. Okay? This is verse 13. For Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. One of the most under-preached and taught verses in the scriptures. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You hear a passage like that in church and you go, "That's nice, Dave. That's super, buddy. That's awesome." Let me tell you how much gets missed in this one. Remember we said, "Therefore, dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Great. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Watch this. It is God. Okay, let's just start. It is God. Who is it? It's God. Who? God. Who? God. Who works in you, okay? He's working, right? The word energize. He's energizing you. He's pouring into you, in your insides. Ready? Get ready. To will and to act according to his good purpose. So, to will means to desire. To act means to act upon it. God is working inside of you, watch this, to desire and then act upon according to his will. This will blow your mind if you catch this. The Lord has already put inside of you the very thing he wants you to do in life, in your walk, in your existence. That's his will for you. And it just so happens that it lines up with exactly what you want to do. And the most bizarre part about it that people miss is it's God who's working in you and me to desire and then to act upon according to his purposes, he has put inside of you already the very thing he wants you to exist to do. People will write book after book after book, and they will read book after book after book, and they will go to 1,500 life seminars to find out what is it in me that will make me happy. And here in this one verse is the answer. It's already inside of you. God already put it there. It's the very thing that you deepest desire, that you love, that you're passionate about. God put it there. The question is, how do you access it and how do you use it for his kingdom? And what people do is they access it, but don't use it for God. Inside of you is this puzzle. And God has put the pieces in there. So the very thing inside of you, listen to what I'm saying. This is unbelievable. According to God's plan, according to his desire, inside of you is a desire, is a passion, is a drive to accomplish something. And that has been put there by God for his kingdom purposes. And he wants you to connect to it so that the very thing you're doing for the kingdom of God is the very thing that brings the fulfillment in you advancing the kingdom of God. And you know when you're doing it because you are in sync with the Lord, and it's like life. It's like an In-N-Out burger with no calories. It's like the coolest thing ever. And God's the one who put it inside of you. Listen to what I'm saying. This is, people have been mind blowing. I'm telling you, I got this whole thing on this. It has to do with, you know, finding the will of God. And it's just understanding. This is how God has orchestrated people. He has put inside of you a passion. The passion is supposed to be kingdom oriented. If you can draw close to the Lord and fulfill that passion, you'll find out that the very thing you're doing, the very thing, and I'll give you a perfect example, okay? So I don't know if Glenn is still listening to our show or not, but let me just use him as an example. Glenn's a musician. Guy loves music. He finds life in music, okay? When he's doing music for God, it's not work at all. It's like breathing. Now, he has to do certain things and has to coordinate certain things. I get it. But in the moment that he's doing it, he knows this is why I was created. And he connects it. Well, God has put that in everybody. You think, well, I want to be a famous singer. I didn't say God put a desire in you for you to be famous. I didn't say that. I said that what the Lord put in you to desire and to fulfill is for his kingdom, for his glory. And the way God set it up is you get to do the very thing you love in his kingdom. And in doing that, you find this enormous fulfillment and the kingdom of God gets advanced. And that's part of the creation deal if you connect with your creator. This could save people billions of dollars in self-help books. This is where you just like this is, if this ever got out on the circuit, people would be wiped out. Because it's like, hey, God already put that in you. And it's not just that. Some people have this in kind of an engineering capacity. Some people have it in problem solving. Some people have it in writing. Some people have it in helping. Some people have it in administration. It doesn't. And people go, well, there's only, you know, so many gifts that are listed in Scripture. There's like 30 plus gifts that are listed in Scripture. That's not the only amount of gifts there are with God. There's an unlimited number of gifts. That's what's listed in Scripture. If your gift is when you're doing something in flight or in motion, whatever, I mean, that's up to the Lord. He doesn't limit that. But the only way to tap into what it is from God is to tap in with God. The only way is to recognize when he's working on you that you push forward into him. This passage is connected to the sanctification process. You want to know what you're all about? You want to know what you're made for? You want to know what you were created to accomplish and do? Then when God's working on you trial-wise, you turn your face towards him and into him and find him. And as you do that, God will reveal more and more and more until you reach that place where you are existent, doing the very thing you were created to do. Now, we're talking specifics here. I'm not talking about the general. Everybody has a general will in the Lord, and you need a compass. I'm talking about you personally, that God works in you to will, to desire, to have a passion for, and then to act upon it according to his plan. And you find that through the sanctification process and turning your face towards the Lord. Now you go back and read this passage. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act, to desire and to fulfill according to his good purpose. And you're like, wow, how'd that get in there? Well, first it's called reading. And then maybe a little studying. You know, it's kind of like... And the reality is, the closer you get your face to God's heart, the more you'll understand. But he made you this way. And so what's the most amazing thing is everybody who is medicating, who's doing this big life search, searching for purpose, all of it has always been, always will be in God. So through Jesus Christ, find him. Passionately. And he will open that for you as a gift. Because if you're living this life, do you know Ecclesiastes? If you're living this life and the very thing that you do is a blessing for you, that God has enabled you to enjoy, that's a gift. And then you're operating in the gift of life. And there's some of you out there who never even thought this through. Listen to me. God created you to fellowship with him and to have purpose with him. Find him to find that purpose. And you might be doing it. It might change. It might grow. It might develop. It might turn left. It might turn right. Who knows? You want to know who knows? The Lord knows. So tag up with the Lord and find out what his desire is for you, which you will find out is your desire anyway. Now, how cool is that in expository teaching? Yowza. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.